You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Kevin O'Malley. Real busy Saturday to look forward to as well. Good racing at Haydock, Goodwood, York, Chester and Cartmel in the afternoon on the domestic front. The card at Haydock includes the Temple Stakes and the Sandy Lane Stakes, a couple of Group 2s there. We've got Irish 2000 Guineas Day over at the Curragh in the afternoon as well, and more evening action for Slas and Salisbury. Plenty to get stuck into this Saturday. It's going to be very busy, and joining me to look ahead to the action is former jockey James Millman. How are you, James?
Very warm, Mark.
Very warm, yes.
It'll be a hot weekend. Certainly soft ground last week. This week, ground drying up very much so, and getting pretty quick again.
Yeah, which could have an impact on the Temple Stakes, which we'll move on to pretty shortly. Before we get to that, a little bit of news, James, and a little bit of reflection on some of the stuff that happened at Sandown on Thursday evening. We'll start with the news, though. Bad news for Minding fans. She's had a training setback and probably not going to see her now until the autumn, which is a little bit of a blow. She'd have been aimed at some real high-profile races, wouldn't she?
Yeah, definitely, because she was impressive when I returned, showing she trained on from 3 to 4, and we were looking forward to a great season with her because she's a versatile. You've got a mile to a mile and a half options if you really wanted to. But then again, the autumn, there's a lot of big race targets in the autumn, so she's going to be fresh and well for them, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully so. Bit of news as well regarding the Derby. Best of Days, Godolphin runner, who was around about a 20-1 chance, won't go to Epsom. Apparently, the race has come too quickly for him.
Yeah, they were on about that not that long ago, saying that it's going to be a rush. Hugo Palmer's team as well, not in particularly great form at the moment, so it's probably made the decision for them. Godolphin's still a pretty strong hand, numerically anyway,
yeah,
in the Derby.
Bit of news from Sandown then as well, a bit of a reflection on what happened there. Just get your thoughts on one or two of the big winners. You were telling me that you were impressed with Havana Grey in the what was the 6:30, the National Stakes.
Yeah, always a very, very useful two-year-old contest, and Havana Grey won very, very nicely. He was a five-length winner air on debut, and then in a stronger race yesterday, he was very impressive, very professional, got the job done, and Cole Brent's got a pretty nice horse in his hands, ridden by PJ McDonald. He could be certainly one of the fancies at Royal Ascot, depending on what Americans turn up.
Yeah.
Definitely looks to be the best GB 2-year-old at the moment. Of the others, we mentioned Big Orange. He won very, very nicely. I thought that was an absolutely cracking front-running ride. Yes, he was favourite, but he gave him an excellent ride. I was impressed with that. And let's see, 16-1 for the Ascot Gold Cup. Tonight, we're no more. Order St. George makes his second start of the season. He actually got beat first time out.
So, yeah.
He's certainly not unbeatable as such, Order St. George, but going the Yates route, Aidan O'Brien will be fine-tuning him for the Ascot Gold Cup itself.
Yeah, if you didn't hear that there, Big Orange unchanged at 16-1 in the market. Spoke to the traders early today, and they were saying, yeah, he won nicely, but he won a race. Well, he should have won the race, shouldn't he?
Exactly. So he's certainly not. Yeah, he's done it well. Again, Ascot Gold Cup so competitive.
Yeah,
he needs to step up a little bit, and he's always come up a little bit short in the past.
Hmm. If he turns up in that kind of form, though, you'd say 16-1
each way price,
good price on it,
definitely. Because, like I say, he's uncomplicated from the front.
Yeah,
and could be an each way option, that's for sure.
Yeah. Order St. George 7-4 at the time of recording this, though. There may be a slight change should he go win the Savall Beg on Friday, yeah. Friday evening. But even still, he should win that race.
Again, he did a bit like Big Orange. Yeah. It's not like a Derby market where a win, see their odds crash, because generally we know what we're going to get with these older horses.
Yeah. Order St. George, and then O'Brien favourite for another race there. He's got the favourite for the...
Got so many, isn't he?
The Irish 2000 Guineas on Saturday. He's 1-3 at the top of the market. It's 11-2 Irish Correspondent. Lancaster Bomber is 10-1 with Thunder Snow. 33 is Glastonbury Song, and Spirit of Valour, the 50-1 outsider of the field. I was going to put this down as potentially a race preview for us to do, but I suppose the question is simply, can you see past Churchill?
No. Moving on. But no, let's face it, Churchill, perhaps not as impressive as such in the 2000 Guineas, because quite a few connections felt that they could have reversed the form of him. But obviously, they're all waiting for Ryan Ascot. They're not going to take him on or go into the Derby, etc. So it does mean that the Irish 2000 Guineas is pretty weak, to be fair. Not much strength and depth at all. Irish correspondent, I have been very impressive with him. He's 2 from 2. Very impressive the other day. He's interesting. It's not going to be a complete walkover for Churchill. I think all those that have got experience, yes, he's much better, but we don't know how good Irish correspondent is. So I probably wouldn't be taking 3-1 on. 11-2 Irish correspondent, probably an each way bet, nothing maybe.
Yeah.
Because he could spring a shock. You never know. Because I say I was very, very impressed with his 2 starts to date so far. Thundersnow's got to be interesting because of his Kentucky Derby experience.
Yeah.
Which he went about 2 yards before he said no, thank you very much. Obviously, didn't take anything out of him, but a lot of travelling. Busy winter in Dubai as well. Hard to know what to expect from Thundersnow. And the other three, they shouldn't get anywhere near Churchill, should they? So, no, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Interested to see how Irish correspondent does, because, like you said, 1-2 out of 2 so far. And both very impressive as well. He's won easily, hasn't he, in his 2. Could be anything. But then again, we know what Churchill is. He's a very, very good horse. So, yeah, it could be an interesting race. That one, I suppose we might as well mention the Irish 1000 Guineas while we're on the subject of the classics over in Ireland. Similar story, really. Winter won the English equivalent. She's 4-5 for the Irish 1000 Guineas. Does she win?
Similar story again, isn't it? The main opposition that were unlucky in the English version, they don't take her on. And Winter was pretty well back, wasn't she? A bit of a gamble in the week up to the 1000 Guineas itself. So obviously she'd been working well at Bayador, and yes, Ready Engine was unlucky, but it was no surprise, I don't think, to the Bayador team that she ran so well. Again, should double up.
Yeah, we'll leave that there anyway. Let's move on. We'll get stuck into some of the best of Saturday's action. We're going to look at 4 races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday. Such is the absolute abundance of racing we have. I was struggling to narrow this down to 4 races, but we've got 4 pretty good races to look at. Well, very good races to look at, some of them. The 2 o'clock is where we start at Goodwood. This is the Festival Stakes, which is a listed race over 1.25 miles. 7 of them set to go to post for this one. Betting out on site as well. And Mount Logan, the 5-2 favourite. 11-4 for Abden, who's just been nudged out slightly from 5-2. It's 4-1 Spark Plug. Tullius, 13-2, and 10-1 Bar Those. What do you make of the 2 o'clock, James?
Interesting race. Probably not as strong a listed race as some of you can see, because we've not got that many unexposed four-year-olds coming through. Tony Curtis had a pretty hard season last year, just looking not quite up to this level, rated 105. And Abden, a little bit in and out sometimes for Sir Michael Stout. Not a bad fourth on his return. He perhaps needs to improve a little bit, so I think you're going to be sticking with the older horses. Mount Logan's an obvious one, isn't he? Rated 109, improver last year for Roger Variant. He's pretty solid. He's got a course in his win next to his name, so he knows how to handle conditions. And he's the obvious one, to be honest, under Andrea Arzini for his retained owner. Spark Plug's obviously interesting because we know he's fit and well. I thought he ran out a cracking race when third last time out when he beat Abden. Rated 1-1-12. He sets a standard and he should be there or thereabouts. Tullius, not getting any younger now, the 9-year-old, but he's still a very, very decent horse on his day. Just a slight question mark is how good he is at 9. He's not going to be getting any better, but he's certainly pretty solid. He set the guard, form guard, I think, for this contest. But I'm going to stick with Mount Logan.
Mount Logan, the selection. For James, then, in the 2 o'clock at Goodwood, moving to York next for the 2:40. The Grand Cup Stakes, a listed race over almost 1.75 miles. Market headed by Frontiersman, who's 2-1. It's 11-2 for Dal Harold. Clever Cookie, 8-1. 9-1 Kirby Enthusiasm. 11-1 Harrison. 12-1 Nikita. 14s or bigger for the others. 14 runners. We know a lot about most of these. Same kind of staying performers that turn up week in, week out for these big races.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting contest. Frontiersman, in and out on his day, he's very, very good, is Charlie Appleby's run, and he was very impressive when he won last time. Handicap was given a mark of 109, which certainly isn't too far from the standard here in this contest. Now, midterm is a non-runner. He was originally the highest in at 114. He's now the highest at 109, and at his best, I think he'd be very, very hard to beat. Harrison's interesting for Mick Shannon and Graham Lee. This one won nicely last time out. It's bringing a little bit of a shock. I don't think he was expected to do that well, but he ran some good races in the highest grade last year. That was a 30 grand race at Chelmsford, and he could just have improved from 3 to 4. So I'm going to take a chance on Harrison. One of my favourites is Nakita for Ian Jardine. Seeing all the top handicaps, just a slight concern whether Listed Company is going to be too much for Nakita, but could be one at an each-way price. Doesn't win very often, but he's very consistent for Ian Jardine.
That's been a bit of a nibble on Harrison as well, 12s into 11s in the market. Nikita's also short.
Yeah, I think in that kind of race where you've got Frontiersman who's in and out,
yeah.
Yes, if he's on a going day, he probably will win, but the price reflects that. So we've got two there, Harrison at 11 to 1, Nikita at 12 to 1. That would be each-way options. The selections will just be Harrison.
Next two races we look at are a couple of Group 2 races at Haydock. The first of them is the 330, the Sandy Lane Stakes, Group 2 over 6 furlongs, field of 7, set to go to post for this year's renewal. And Harry Angel, the 4-5 favourite, 5-1 Mub to Sim, 5-1 Second Thought, 12-1 Brian the Snail and Poet's Vanity, and 20-1 for either Medicine Jack or Alpha Bet. Odds on favourite then in the shape of Harry Angel. Only had the 3 career starts. Previous Group 2 winner as well, won the Mill Reef last season. Sets the standard here?
Definitely sets the standard by quite a way. Really impressive his return at Ascot. That was an absolutely cracking effort under a penalty. I was very, very impressed with that. My only concern is Clive Cox isn't perhaps in as good a form as he'd like to be, although he's having a few winners. His horse, temperament-wise, is a little bit edgy as such, but he's got some engine. And I was really impressed when he won last year. I'm really impressed with his return at Ascot. This race last year won by quite a reflection. Obviously, went on to win the Commonwealth Cup. The new 3-year-old sprint campaign, it's working very, very well. And there's Harry Angel. He's a decent type. So for me, confident selection. It's short, but he should be that kind of price. Brian the Snail is obviously the interesting one because very highly regarded by Richard Farhay. Godolphin bought into him, won nicely at Pontefract on his return. What happened at York Ground? Hopefully there is, and 9 days later, there can't be any issues with him at home as such. He's back in action. If he didn't run him at York, he'd probably be much, much shorter than this. So I think we would draw a line through it. He could be very dangerous at a nice price.
Yeah, there were a few things when they're at York. The ground, both him and the Godsdon runner, our dad, it wasn't it?
Yeah.
Both went to the rail, and the race kind of got away from the pair of them. So
it was too bad to be true.
Yeah, it was.
So 6-5 on that occasion, it'd be a much bigger price because of that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, so if you're willing to forgive him York, he's certainly the interesting one for me.
But you're not forgiving him, York. You're going with Harry Angel.
I'm sticking because I do think he could be a really, really nice horse, Harry Angel.
Okay, Harry Angel to win the Sandy Lane Stakes then. And final race we look at is the big race of the day, Haydock, the Temple Stakes, a 5-furlong Group 2. We've got 12 of them set to go to post for this. You look at the recent winners of this race, where you've got, you know, likes of Profitable and Kingsgate Native and Soul Power. Real high-quality sprinters have won this in the past. And this year's renewal, Washington DC is the favourite. Quiet Reflection, understandably weak in the market, out to 5-1, having previously been 9-2 due to the ground concerns. Priceless 7-1, 8-1 Gold Dream and Catchy. Take Cover also 8-1, 9-1 Kotai Glory, and 11-1 bar those. Washington DC's form's solid enough. Second on reappearance behind Marsha looks a pretty good piece of form. That form doesn't really match Quiet Reflection, but the ground's got to be a real issue for Carl Burke's runner.
Yeah, definitely. And not even taking the ground into account, she's got a £5 penalty.
Yeah,
for her Group 1 success, Quiet Reflection. And the comments of its work recently haven't been particularly great. I know Carl Burke took her to Newcastle when he announced the news that Dougie Costello had lost the ride. He said that she wasn't showing quite the same sparkle as last year. That's because she's got older and she's a little bit more lazy in her work. Or whether a filly, you never know how long they're going to last. There's only so many races a filly will have. And once they decide racing's not particularly for them, there's not a lot you can do. So for me, it's always a question from 3 to 4 how a mare's trained on. Work it's been okay. It's not been exceptional. So it'll be very interesting to see how she gets on. And she may not even take part because of the ground. Washington DC, like I said, that was a good effort at Newmarket last start. He's a horse which is always a nearly horse. He doesn't seem to win that often. Tends to be dropped in grade to get his head back in front. But obviously, he's very, very classy.
Trouble is, as well, he's trained by Edna O'Brien. And he keeps hitting the frame. He's always going to go off.
Exactly.
Than he should do.
Definitely. He's never going to go for the big price. But what I'm going to take a chance on is Alpha Delfini, who was a big improver last year, Brian Smart's runner, related to Tangerine Trees. This one probably needed his run on his comeback. Should have stripped fitter for that. And I thought he was interesting at a price because for me it's a very, very open sprint and we often get a big priced winner of these contests. So Alpha Delfini is a 16-1 shot currently. That would be my one for the Temple Stakes. But it's a bit of a tentative selection. I think those at the head of the market, perhaps they're a little bit short and a surprise may occur.
16-1 then, Alpha Delfini, the selection for James Millman in the 4 or 5 at Haydock, the Temple Stakes. As usual, James, a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you wouldn't mind confirming your selections for us then for Saturday.
Yeah, two obvious ones to left field, I suppose, as such. 2 o'clock at Goodwood, we've gone for Mount Logan. Course distance form in what's not a particularly strong listed race. He should get the job done. Then we head off to York for the 1 mile 6 listed contest at 2:40. Frontiers an obvious favourite, but I'm not a massive fan, so Harrison is a selection for Mick Shannon, and each way Price and Nikita, don't rule that one out either. Then Haydock, we've got the sprints, the 3:30. I think Harry Angel is a really, really decent horse. I think he can get off a mark in Group 2 company for Clive Cox. And then finally, the Temple Stakes at 4:05. Taking a little bit of a chance on Alpha Delfini, the improving sprinter from Brian Smart Stable.
Superb. Been a pleasure as always, James. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. My thoughts of James Millman on Saturday's racing then. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with myself in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Kevin O'Malley. It's Haydock, Goodwood, York, Chester and Cartmel in the afternoon. Squeezing a bit of Irish action as well from the Curra on Irish 2000 Guineas Day. And then we've also got evening racing from Forslass and Salisbury. Real busy day. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.